You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. Powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. It's Nissan's Winter Warrior event. Lease or finance from 0% or get up to $6,000 in standard rate finance cash on select models. Scarborough Nissan. Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.
Final hour, Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and now up on TSN 2. Brian Hazy, O-Dog Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. It's a big news day. Are you okay over there, Noodles?
Yeah.
What happened?
No, you hesitated. You're like, Jamie Noodles. You like stretched it out.
I
was kind of waiting on you.
I'll be. This is a tough day because there's too much content.
Yeah.
Like, that's the issue. I know I'm going to drive home and be so mad at myself because we didn't hit on something enough or we didn't touch on this, that, or the other.
You're right.
There's too much going on.
But Mondays are always full.
But not like this. You're right, but not like this.
Okay,
like,
so
Morgan Riley's out for 8 weeks. The Leafs got embarrassed last night in the biggest game of the year.
Right.
We spent all week last week saying biggest game of the year.
They're going
down early. We interview the coach on Friday. He's saying we're ready to rock. And they were brutal last night.
So there's two things.
Massive wins.
The
football.
Houston should have won.
Right.
Right. The massive. Packers win, which is great.
Right.
But this MLB Houston story, we didn't even talk about the Raptors and DeRozan in town last night. DeRozan almost put Chris Boucher in a coffin last night.
He got two standing ovations, I believe.
He got a shout out, and he deserved it. He played really well, I believe. He was the... I think he was named the player of the week in the Western Conference.
Yeah.
Which culminated with that big game he had last night.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we haven't hit the Raptors at all. There's just been too much. You're right. There's about.
So I'm trying to stall for like a half second, and you're calling me on it because I'm thinking, where are we going
here? Well, I apologize. I thought you were looking at me.
No, what
the hell is this guy?
I was trying to remember his name.
Who the hell is that
sitting over there? Is that Jonas?
It was a classic stall tactic.
That's my fault.
Old school radio move where I'm like, if I drag this out for a minute, I can really kind of collect my thoughts here.
When we get jammed up on TV, you say National Hockey League instead of NHL. You buy time while you're thinking, right?
That is the go-to. Right. To save yourself a little bit of time, a full-blown reset. National Hockey League.
Yeah.
The Toronto Maple Leafs will play the New Jersey Devils of the United States of America tomorrow night. Like, you stall and stall and stall.
You just drag it out while you're thinking, yes.
Yeah. And I don't know if I've ever done that with your name or a nickname, but I guess that's effectively what I'm telling you.
I thought I was in trouble. That's why.
No.
All good.
Never, man. But
the Leafs are
in trouble.
We didn't talk about New Jersey firing Ray Shero out of nowhere. Like,
right.
That's far down the list.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's not even on the radar, although it's a big story. I mean,
kind of is.
GM of a hockey team gets fired after he makes the Taylor Hall trade.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I didn't understand. You let him pull that trade.
I'm not letting this guy make this trade if I'm not going to move on to the future with him.
Right. Let the next guy make the decision.
Right.
I guess, although maybe you're not going to hire someone permanently anyway, and Hall's going to leave as a UFA, so I guess maybe there's not much you can do with that timeline. But Ray Shero, the GM of New Jersey, determined, we're done, our season's done, Taylor Hall's got to go, and then like 2 weeks later, they're like,
actually, you're fired. Actually, you're going to go too.
Right.
Which was weird. So that you're right. But that's far down on the list.
When you think of organizations, do you not think he deserved to get fired? I do.
I don't know about deserve, but I was with you. You tweeted that out last night. I don't think it's like,
people
impossible
are,
to understand.
Well, shocking news what?
They've been a disaster.
Yeah. You're right, but I'll be the first to admit, I thought they had a decent offseason. Right? Like, you go and get P.K. Subban for pennies on the dollar. Pennies on the dollar.
Well, he makes $9 million and can't play anymore.
But you're sitting there going, I got a former Norris winner who can be an impactful player. Wayne Simmons, you add there. You get the Gusev kid from Vegas, who is a really talented forward. Like, you get Jack Hughes. Like, you're starting to add there. Like, to me, I was like, well, they get some pretty...
It was a storm in the wrong direction.
You're right.
Everything went the wrong way. Jack Hughes had a slow start.
Corey Schneider
blew his hip out.
Like, yeah, but...
If you look at every disaster in the NHL when a guy gets fired, you could look at one place. The goaltending.
But here's where that becomes even more difficult to handle, I think, if you're the owner. Because they have buried Corey Schneider, and he's got to pay him to play in the American Hockey League. That may have actually been the death knell for...
Well, didn't he have surgery? Like, he had hip surgery.
Yeah,
he?
Like a year ago or 2 years right. ago. Now he just can't play, so they said you're in the minors. And if you're a GM and you got to go to your owner, an owner that probably right. doesn't make a lot of money, might break even, and you say, here's my decision. I'm going to bury this guy. You still have to pay him, like, the full contract.
Right.
If you're an owner of a team, again, that doesn't make a lot of money, forget Taylor Hall. Forget P.K. Subban.
Right.
You're telling me I have to pay a guy $6 million to play in the minors?
Yeah.
That's the one that I think is tough to chew on if you're
it's
an
not
owner.
It's not a devil-type thing to do.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Listen, man, there's only, like, the Leafs can do it, Montreal,
Rangers.
New York. 25 teams in the league, 20 teams anyway, the owner would be like, are you kidding me?
Right.
You think I'm paying this guy $6 million a year to play in the minors? You're out.
Right, right.
You know, and even though it's not Shiro's fault that Schneider got injured and his game just fell off a cliff.
Right.
But that's a difficult conversation to have. And if you're the owner, I can understand why you'd be like, I can't even look at you right now. I'm furious that I have to pay this guy that kind of money to play in the minors.
Right, right.
So anyway.
Well, the option is, okay, let me put him in the net and allow 8 goals a game. Do you want that?
Yeah, but if you're the owner, you're like, why'd you sign him? What happened? Why'd you acquire him?
When he signed him, he was one of the best goalies in the league.
Well, he's not anymore.
Yeah, it's dropped off. You're right. And you're right. Like, you have to answer for your actions, regardless if at the time they were great. Well, now they're not. And Ray Shiro paid the price. But, you know, I just thought that there was probably an understanding when you fire the coach, you trade away your best player. Like, to me, they're like, okay, this is kind of a lost season. We're going to have another reset, another high draft pick, but we got to have a plan moving forward. But the plan moving forward is that they don't think that, you know,
Ray Shiro can do the job.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, tough year down in Jersey. They're, you know, John Hines is coaching somewhere else. Taylor Hall's playing somewhere else. Corey Schneider's in the minors.
Yeah.
Your GM got fired. P.K. Subban, which was the most marketable trade you could ever make, has blown up in their face, and they're going to be a bottom five team in the league.
Yeah.
So,
unfortunate.
So I guess that puts it into perspective, right? Like, in Toronto, we're buzzing about the Maple Leafs. And
they can pull in Edmonton and hit the draft lottery again.
Yeah, they could. I mean, that, and they would actually be doing it, like,
legit.
In a legitimate fashion,
the dignified,
so to speak.
Tank, technically.
Yeah, they wouldn't be moving up 9 spots to win it. They're going to be a bottom 3 or 4 team.
They're right there.
So, you know, again, from perspective, a perspective standpoint, I guess if you're in Toronto, you're like, it could be a lot worse.
Yeah.
It could be New Jersey, and the Leafs are still in a playoff spot. They're still loaded with talent, but this kind of feels like a year where there is going to be curveball after curveball thrown at them,
yeah.
And do they have enough to get through it? Because now Riley's out for 8 weeks. Muzzin's probably out for another month. Mikheyev could be done for the year, certainly the regular season. Trevor Moore, I don't know what's happening with him. Janssen was out for an extended period of time. Tavares was out. Marner was out. Like, they've really dealt with a lot of injuries. And they're not alone. Every team in the league does it. Talk to the team down the hall with the Raptors. I mean, the Raptors survived it.
Yeah.
And now, hopefully, they're going to get off and running here.
The one thing I'll say about the Leafs, it's like the stress. Like, the Kyle Dubas and Brendan Shanahan, the stress they have to deal with, it's never, like, low maintenance. Like look at Boston. They just kind of win, and they're trekking along, and it's they get Mikheyev, just the injury, and it's just...
Yeah, but I mean...
Morgan Riley's going down. It's just... It seems like just a stress ball.
But every organization deals with that, Bruins included. Like, there were times where, like, Krejci was out... McAvoy was out, like, they, you know, they've dealt with it. It's it's quieter.
But even the Austin Matthews stuff earlier in the year, it was just
right.
It seems like it just goes off the rails, and it's like high stress stuff.
Well, it's this market too. It's a very polarizing market. So everything is times 100, other than some of the other markets that we talk about.
Yeah, it's,
which would be times 10.
It's a loud market.
Correct.
As we know,
mm-hmm.
They didn't do themselves favors the first 25 games of the season,
right. Yeah,
and now they're in tough, right? They still have the talent. They've still got their number one goalie, but you know, you got some big holes that you got to fill here, and you're in a fight. Yeah. You're in a fight with Florida. You're going to be in a fight likely with Philly, maybe Columbus. I mean, you're in a fight. That's what you're in. 35 games, strap in. It's going to be a fun ride.
Yeah, it will be.
It'll be a really fun ride. But, you know, it'll be disappointing if Florida misses because they have not made it in quite some time. They loaded up in the offseason. It would be disappointing if Philly missed it. Disappointing if Columbus missed it, although I don't think anyone thought Columbus would even be in the position they're in right now, so I credit them. But if Toronto missed it, that would be a mess on so many different levels, also because of the market they're in. Like, right. Florida, no one even cares. Like, right. Let's be honest. That crowd is a joke. No one cares. And if they miss, whatever, the owner would. But up here, it would be a summit.
Well,
what happened? What went wrong? What are you going to do?
Immediately, people would question the formula of the salary cap.
Right.
Right. That's where immediately people would go.
Yep. We'd go right back to that road.
You're paying, you know, 5-6 guys, however you want to frame that, all the money.
Mm-hmm.
So underneath that, those guys then, although it's not, like, I think a guy like Jason Spezza has been great value.
Yeah, very good at 700 grand.
But it's, you know, you're going to need, it's all the light is shined on the big boys because you're paying them all the money and that's most of the cap.
Right.
So they've got to deliver. That's it. Plain and simple. Top players have to deliver in this league.
So, you know, bit of a weird mood in Toronto right now. And then you have Houston.
Right.
Who, I think they missed, 27 straight three-pointers in a row against Golden State in the Western Conference Final last year. Remember that? I think it was game 7 at home. Like, it was some absurd amount of three-pointers they missed in a row. 27 missed in a row. So they lose to Golden State again. There's the basketball team covered.
Right.
The football team is up 24-0 at the end of the first quarter, or early second quarter, and they get blown out yesterday.
I don't often do this, but I shut it off. I'm like, this is over.
Houston? Yeah, I was of that impression, too. I'm not pretending like
I'm like,
I
okay,
saw,
guys, you laid an egg here, you're done.
All I could think of was the Bills. I'm like, Buffalo, if they just hold on and beat Houston, maybe Kansas City was vulnerable. Like, maybe right. You go in there and you find a way to beat Kansas City like Houston's about to do it. And then that turns on them. And then you look at the Houston Astros, where the offseason begins with Gerrit Cole leaving. Just prior to that, they were up 2-0 in the seventh inning, game 7 at home against Washington. They blow it, kind of choke late in that game, lose a World Series. And now the punishment has been laid down for what they did in 2017 with A.J. Hinch, their manager, and Jeff Luhnow, their GM, both being suspended for a year, and then immediately Jim Crane, the owner, just said, forget the suspension. Yeah. You're both fired. You're out.
Take a lap.
They lose 2 first-round picks, 2 second-round picks, and $5 million. And I think if you're a fan, like this idea of an asterisk beside a championship, I don't think it counts for a fan.
No.
Like, I've had a couple of people tweet in with the Leafs, like Leaf fans, saying, do you think I would care if the Leafs won a cup and then 3 years later everyone got fired and suspended?
Yeah, they're all on
steroids.
You think
I'd care? Who cares?
No.
If you're a fan, you experienced it. You went through it. You got it.
You're not removing the tattoo on your shoulder of the Stanley Cup with the Leafs on it.
You got it, right?
Right.
You got it.
I don't think fans care. This is more at the executive level.
Very much so. Now, it will affect your fandom, I guess, in terms of what you're expecting out of your team going forward, because they're still loaded with talent in Houston. But Gerrit Cole left. Your manager's gone. And your GM, who has done a great job. Like, Luhnow is not a guy that succeeds at PR. We saw that multiple times throughout the season. He took a ton of heat for acquiring Roberto Osuna.
Yeah.
But he could build a winning baseball club, and he's out. That's a big hit. And the assistant GM is out for the idiocy that he pulled off.
But if you're doing a deep dive into what Houston did, are you not just saying, who spearheaded this conduct? Who was the one guy that said, guys, I have an idea that's going to help us hit? Who was that
it
guy?
It sounds like it's the Cora. Players and Cora, who's in
it's
Boston
Cora.
Now. Alex
okay,
Cora.
But how the hell does A.J. Hinch lose his job for that if they came up with this idea?
Well, I guess.
I know that you're running the show and you probably had an idea what was going on.
That's it.
But I want to know who spearheaded it and whose idea it was.
I can tell you. The play, and I don't know specific players. It sounds like Carlos Beltran was leading the charge, and he's the manager with the Mets now. But it sounds like he was the guy that was like, we can really make something happen here with this technology and the camera and center. And Cora was giddy, so he's like, I'm all in. And I'm sure other players, obviously,
but if you're a player,
all the players were involved.
If
they
you're
had
a player
be.
And somebody says, oh, I can find you six more goals in a season.
Show me what you got.
Right.
Like Noodles, I can show find me you the, five
show
more
me the
saves
video.
In a game.
Yep.
Because we can
But
we
to
can
me, that's
you.
Just homework. Like if I'm if I got a shootout against but Jamie McLennan, I want to see every shootout goal.
You can
tell.
Do that. You
here's
can do
the
that.
Tell in the neutral zone, somebody's banging on a garbage can. They're going to shoot glove.
That's the difference.
Top glove, and you're standing there like that. Like
that means Noodles looking at a hot girl in the stands.
That.
And I'll rip one blocker side on Noodles.
You can review the tape before the game all you want.
Yeah.
But you cannot be in the midst of a game smacking the garbage can to let people know what's coming.
I don't know why.
It's not overly complicated.
It's idiocy. I'm laughing about it. I don't know why, because there's real things involved
well,
here.
Well, it's not life or death.
Though. I know,
I mean,
but
it's
I'm like,
sports
I just,
stuff. It doesn't,
somebody tweeted in. And,
that's where I don't think it's that.
It. Somebody tweeted in and said, I'm with you, Jamie. Athletes taking performance-enhancing drugs and cheating. The Olympics would be hilarious. Imagine a runner going 55 miles an hour. Like, just anybody, just go ahead, cheat. Cheat. Just give us your best product.
Well, if you're a fan.
4 seconds, 100-meter dash.
Now, that can go both ways, yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know from a pitcher's how you. I mean, you can cheat. You use pine tar. You use, you know, spit. Like, the pitchers are doing stuff that's shady as well. Let's not pretend like they're all angels. Like
no. Any one of them will give you 1 to 3 inches drop on your curveball.
A little Bardol on the ball, and you are throwing like Ed Harris from Major League.
But it would just be like, I mean, I know there's rules, and I'm being ridiculous, but it'd just be kind of funny if you could just do anything you wanted.
Well, yes. I mean, still within the guidelines of the sport that make it the sport.
Correct.
Right. You can't strike out and say, no, I'm not leaving.
Yeah, no.
I'm
no,
not leaving
no,
the
no,
box.
No, like within
but you
the
mean,
context of the sport.
Absolutely. I would have no problem with that.
Right.
I have no problem with that. Like, if you don't want... Remember, we had Ryan Dempster on after this story broke out. And he said, it's very easy for me. If I find that you're cheating and you're picking up signs, next time you step up, I'm firing one right at your head.
Yeah.
Now, I know that people would say that's Neanderthal thinking, and we don't want that, because then you get to injuries. But I'm not cheating anymore if there's a guy in the mound that can throw 95 at my head.
Exactly.
And
think twice about it.
Dempster said I would throw and I'd walk up to him and say, go look at your camera at that one.
Yeah.
And I'll bet you the next time he's up, he's like, hey, throw that garbage cam up to the 15th row. If I hear you guys smack that thing, I'm going to drop kick you.
So where's this camera?
It's in center field.
In that area that they tarp off? That area that ballpark, there's no one
they initially, they implemented it for... You know, to study the players, basically. It was for scouting, your own players.
Right.
And the teams, I guess Houston and I'm sure others, said, hey, this stuff's right there. Like, it's coming in on a live feed.
Right.
Let's set something up. And they set up a little video room. And they were channeling in details on what was happening. And it clearly was working. In the split stats, there was some guy on Twitter with way too much time on his hands back in the fall that found the stats, like home and on the road and different, and it was like off the charts what Houston was doing. So now they pay a penalty. But the players are all off the hook.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I brought up with Phillips. I mean, the players were the ones spearheading this. They were involved. They were not only, you know, hitting clearly at a higher rate because of it, you know they got paid because of it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know when these guys came up, they're like, yeah, I'll take that money because of the 2017 run.
Yeah, the stats were inflated, but doesn't matter.
They're not going to pay a penalty. They're not going to pay a penalty. And they still got their ring. They still got their World Series. They still got their cash. I don't think the players are going to feel any remorse. And I don't think they're going to say anything. They're all going to plead the fifth and say, go talk to somebody else.
Yeah, you're right.
Not my problem. Pierre LeBrun, our TSN Hockey Insider, will be in studio. We'll get back into the Tkachuk versus Cassian story. We'll play that audio. We'll let you hear it. We'll let you hear what John Tavares said postgame last night, too, after the Leafs got laid. You know, it was a beating. Yeah, it was a beat down in Florida by Florida. And where do the Leafs go now that Morgan Riley is out for a minimum of 8 weeks? That more coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, we'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine later in the hour. The NCAA national title game tonight, LSU, Clemson. Some of the characters, it's down in New Orleans, and there have been pictures circulating Twitter and Instagram all week.
Yeah.
College football fans are the best. The best. Like, they show up and they party.
You have LSU. No idea. You have no idea. LSU. My buddies would go to the games, NC State, Wolfpack, who were awful. They never won anything. But full season tickets, they never entered the building one time. Just in the car. Like, set up a TV, tailgate, that's it.
Just goon.
The tickets, yep. They could have just lit them on fire.
Yeah, it's almost like the game is secondary in a way. Like, yeah. It's not overly
it's
important.
Party. Yeah.
Well, I think
party.
The biggest issue was they didn't serve booze in the stadium, and they're like, I have booze in my truck.
Right.
So that's where my party is at.
And I believe they've changed those rules for the majority of stadiums. I hope so for a game like tonight. But LSU, like, shut their campus down today and tomorrow.
Like, that's it.
It's a massive state-owned and operated campus, and they're like, we're not coming in. We got a game tonight.
That's a veteran move to do it the day after.
I like that.
Because you know that people are
win or lose.
What's the point?
The booze.
Like, what? Honestly, what? That's just being self-aware.
Yeah. It's not. I agree.
It shouldn't be
smart.
Congratulated. It shouldn't be considered some, you know, outrageous maneuver.
Right.
It should just be standard practice. Clemson should be doing the same thing.
Right.
School pride, like civic pride down in the States, we have nothing that comes close to it up here in Canada. We just don't. Our university system, it's a great system, but we do not have the same sort of connection the way Americans do to their schools. No one's going. Like, there's no point in operating tomorrow. No one will be there.
Whenever I travel in the States and the topic comes up of university sports in Canada, I don't even say a word.
Well,
I'm like, you could have a grade 8 team that could come up here and beat some of our...
No, there's some good players up here. It's not that the athletes aren't... Dude, Carleton, the basketball team, legitimately beats Division I teams in the States.
Who?
Didn't they beat Duke? Did they beat Duke a couple years ago up here?
Yeah, because they played their third stringers.
I'm telling you, man, they're a legitimate basketball team. The hockey teams are all former CHL players.
Yeah, the athletes are fine. I think it's more just
me,
like you said.
Me, Mulls, Al's brother, and the grappler could beat a university.
No, I'm telling you.
They're good. My whole thing is the pride in the school is different.
Exactly.
Like the actual, like, the players, the athletes are amazing. It's about, like, I went to whatever, Carleton. I went to Humber. I went to, like, the actual pride and walking around with the
colors
sweaters
and
the collars.
Yeah.
And I went to high school in the States 1 year, and it was ridiculous because I tried to leave one time. They were like, yeah, we have a pep rally. I'm like, okay, that's my cue to, I'm going to go for
stage
lunch.
Stage left, I'm
yeah,
out
I'm going to go for, like, a teacher, like, was standing at the door, like, you can't leave, we're going in for the pep rally. I'm like, I'm going to go to McDonald's or whatever. Like, I had no idea that everyone went in and chanted their year and chanted for the basketball team, came out and waved to everyone. You're like, I couldn't care less.
It's tribal. It's tribal.
It's ridiculous.
And that's high school.
That was high school.
Try college.
Another level.
Like LSU, where how many people go to LSU? Like 40,000 people? It's probably a massive school, massive campus. Been around for probably 120 years or whatever.
Yeah, nothing but pride.
Nothing but pride.
In the school.
In the school. You wear the colors, you commit, you watch everything, you show up, it's an event.
Tessa Benham went to, like, Ohio State. She still talks about it.
Absolutely.
Like, she's got the pride in her school.
Yeah. Well, and she was an athlete, too, so...
Yeah.
She probably got to benefit from the amount of people that would show up to her games, and then you reciprocate. I'm like, I'm showing up for your games or whatever. Pierre LeBrunner, Hockey Insider in studio.
What's up?
Let's bring our
beaming Brian Hayes.
Feeling very good.
Brian Hayes.
Only four teams left, Pierre, and mine happens to still be in the dance.
By the way, Green Bay Packers.
Thanks
for your response via text message Friday when I was trying to help you during the trivia game.
Which answer?
This guy.
Him versus Jonas. It was a barn burner.
He claims he tried to help me. He goes, my name's Pierre because of Pierre Trudeau.
I was just saying, I got named after Pierre Trudeau. I thought he'd find it interesting.
Like,
does
that help you
back
at all?
Was not
but that does
warm and fuzzy.
But the question was, who's on the $5 bill? Like, he got the answer.
Wilfrid Laurier.
Right, but what is your name, Pierre LeBrun?
That's what I'm saying. It didn't help me at all.
No, I was saying after he said Pierre Trudeau, I was like, by the way, FYI.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, that's all.
So you're just chiming in. You weren't really helping.
I was bored at home.
I see.
Who won on Friday?
Oh, it was deadly.
Jonas.
Yeah.
Jonas.
Didn't go well?
Jonas in, like, triple overtime by default. Like,
really?
I don't even know how he got it right. It was brutal.
How many 20-point players on the Leafs was it?
That was one of them. Neither of them got both. He said like one play.
Three. No, I said three.
And Jonas was off only by one or two, I think.
Yeah. No, he said four. He's an idiot too.
Anyway, Morgan Rielly out for 8 months.
Oh my goodness!
What kind of brutal? You know, shockwave does this send through a team?
Well, you know, as I said on SC a few minutes ago, I mean, even when healthy, we were debating. This is an amazing team to watch. Arguably one of the top three offensive teams in the league.
Still need a D when they're healthy.
But that's what I was debating. I said, when healthy, we were debating whether they could figure it out defensively in playoff time. So now they're out their best two defensemen. Now Jake Muzzin will be back at some point after the bye. But as I tweeted today, and I'm not trying to get under the skin of Leaf fans, you now have to actually have the conversation, which I can't believe I'm having, that their playoff chances have been hit a bit here. They got to get through this without Morgan Rielly.
Yeah, 8 weeks is a long time, starting January 13th.
For a guy who does it all. You know, if there's a silver lining is that, as you guys know, he was playing through something all year in a way, separate from this, obviously. So at least that presumably will heal to some degree. But this is a major blow. And, part of what I was trying to get to today on Twitter right away is that, ironically, if it was 3 months that he's supposed to be out instead of 2 months, the Leafs could actually get the Patrick Kane loophole going where they actually spend Riley's salary before February 24th at the deadline on an impact player, and then Rielly comes back in the playoffs and there's no salary cap. But because they're estimating a minimum of 8 weeks, that's mid-March, if he comes back in March, which of course you want him back as soon as possible, when he comes back, you have to be cap compliant immediately.
Right.
Right.
So it doesn't appear right now, unless his rehab doesn't go as well, that they'll even get any kind of salary cap benefit from his long-term absence, which is in many ways a double whammy for the Leafs.
Well, it was just adding insult to injury last night, or the opposite way around, I guess. Right. Injury to insult is what the saying should be, because they got insulted by Florida last night, and then the injury comes out the next morning, and Rasmus Sandin coming up, and I'm intrigued by him.
Opportunity, yeah.
Big opportunity. They're number one prospect in the organization. I mean, a real opportunity to see what he's made of. But he's not jumping on a team that's on pace for 75 points and no expectations. And, hey, if he makes a couple of mistakes, so be it.
Right.
You make a mistake in this atmosphere.
That's a good point.
Man, it's going to put some heat and pressure on him, which can be a positive. I mean, maybe this is the best thing possible for him in terms of his development. Throw him right into the fire, and the fire is stoking at this point. But that game last night, man, that didn't help, because that was a big game. You could tell Florida understood it. Florida knew it was a big game.
Circle that, baby.
They circled it. They knew Toronto's the team we got to focus on, and it was not reciprocated. Toronto, it was as if they were playing a Detroit or something. Yeah, it didn't even matter.
I don't know if they didn't respect it. It just seemed like the process. It just seemed like everything. Like right from the drop of the puck, everyone was out to lunch. I mean, I know Hyman had a nice game and Marner got a couple, but like
they were stationary, which is the opposite of what you ever think with the Leafs under Sheldon Keefe. That's the slowest I've ever seen them.
Yeah, they didn't look into it.
And O'Dog, I thought you made the point on Twitter. You get to Florida one day early, there should be the guilty first period happening there.
Right, the guiltiest of first periods. Yeah. You can't just go mail it in and look like you're asleep out there. But I told Brian and Jamie earlier, they showed their maturity on last night. It's like, you know what?
I heard.
Huh?
I like what I heard afterwards. I'll say that.
Yeah, why don't we play that clip? Let's hear from John Tavares after the game. Because Tavares was given the opportunity.
That's what he meant, I think.
Like, to just flush it, right? To just say, take it, run with it, blow it off, move on. And when Tavares was asked that postgame, here's what he had to say.
I don't think so. I mean, that was pretty disappointing considering, I think, what was at stake today. It's just simply not good enough. We got to be a lot more consistent, and having these games, giving up the chances that we're giving up, is just not going to get us to where we want to get to.
I like that. He's a guy. I mean, he understands the position he's in. He understands the market he's in. Matthews, Marner, Nylander are in different stages in their career. Not that they wouldn't feel the same way. Marner effectively reiterated that. You know, he said this wasn't good enough. We got to really snap out of it and wake up here. But there's a lot of pressure on John Tavares. Like, he's got to make it happen here. And I like that he didn't just allow the cliche, yeah, burn the tape, it happens, 1 of 82. It wasn't 1 of 82.
Mm-hmm. No, it was awful.
It was a bad game against an important opponent.
Right.
And we'll see how they respond tomorrow night. Like tomorrow night against Jersey, that's a game you got to win.
I think they're going to play a hell of a game. It's interesting hearing the leaders speak yesterday. Reminded me of something Sheldon Keefe told me during the holidays when I did that interview. I asked him about benching Nylander and Kapanen in that Detroit game, and he said, you know, it's less interesting to him to be the one talking about accountability with his players and more interesting to him if the players are feeding off each other on accountability. Like, they're recognizing right. themselves, oh, boy, I just screwed up here, and I better make up. And that, or I guess what I'm saying is I feel like you heard a bit of that after that game last night.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest, there are a lot of nights after a game like that where you will get a pro, and I'm not criticizing players who do this, who will just say, come on, it happens.
Right,
yeah.
It is what you hear a lot because, you know, it's 82 games, but you didn't hear that last night.
Well, and if it was a one-off, but people didn't like the game against Edmonton, and that's pretty recent too. And to me, we're seeing really a tale of two teams. Like, they can score. They scored 4 last night, lost, gave up 8. And they could score. They're having a tough time defending consistently. And if Freddie is average or below, that's what you're getting. Mm. And that's, I think, what's concerning for Leaf fans, too.
And this has been lost in the Morgan Rielly news today as the news cycle quickly escalates. But, you know, I tweeted over the Mark Masters quoting Freddie last night. Freddie was saying, guys, you know, I know everyone loves how the team is playing under Sheldon Keefe. How can you not? But if there's one guy that's not benefited from it, it's probably right. Freddie Anderson because it's a high risk, high reward, right?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting you mention that because our buddy Mike Kelly had a tweet earlier this morning where, you know, there was an article written, I believe, in The Athletic about Freddie Anderson and the struggles. And the players were saying that, hey, we can't let Freddie out, hang him out to dry. He's been our backbone, which is true.
Right.
You know, for 3 years. Going now. He has been their backbone. He's been their go-to guy. But he's not played well recently.
No.
And Kelly pointed out that the Leafs are a bottom five team in rush chances, goals, and odd man rushes against in the last month. They're not giving up that much.
Right.
The problem is they're going in.
Right.
Hoffman and Scheifele on Wednesday was the exact same play. Short side, middle of the net. If he's on his game, I think he stops those.
Right.
And then you don't even pay attention.
And then you're not having this
then
conversation.
And you don't say, what are they doing? What are they doing? Freddie Anderson is not playing well, period. The team is not helping him, right. But let's not pretend like Freddie, oh, what are you going to do with Freddie? Freddie's got to be better, and now there's even more pressure on him. With Rielly out, he's got to be a stud. He has to be.
No question about it. And there's literally no other option either. With all due respect to Michael Hutchinson.
No, he's their guy.
This is how dependent they are on like most teams, by the way. It's not right. like the Leafs are the only team in this position, but it is.
It's not a tandem.
Well, that's why, I mean, I was heading there. Like, Freddie is a starter. Like, only about 8 or 9 teams have clear-cut starters. The rest have platoon.
Mm-hmm.
So the platoon, you know, Halak, Rask. Rask not going well, run Halak a couple times.
Yeah,
same Soros. Thing happened in Calgary the other day. You know, Riddick not playing well, Talbot goes 3 in a row. Yeah, no
right.
problem. Now Riddick can get his game in order. Freddie's struggling. Hutchinson can't go on a 3 or 4 game run here.
Right.
He hasn't developed that confidence with the organization. So it's on Freddie to get his game in order and the team to help him out and him to help the team.
And, I mean, we're overanalyzing the Tampa Bay Lightning both during their struggles early in the year and now that they've become them who
right.
they are again. Don't go too deep. The underlying numbers are pretty similar all along, but one thing happened. Andrei Vasilevskiy woke up.
No kidding.
Like, you know, he was not very good early on.
Every team right. that's in, you know what, you all look at one position.
Yeah.
Goaltender.
Yeah.
Peter Laviolette got fired because Pekka Rinne kind of was not at the top of his game.
Pete DeBoer in San Jose.
Yeah.
Couldn't get a save all year.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're asking disagree. For a lot, but it's the yeah. truth. It's the nature of the position.
And listen,
like the NFL.
I think if when the Leafs are playing at their best under Sheldon Keefe, which has been the majority of the time since he's been behind the bench, I do think that his system works because basically it's keep away. You're not the 95 Devils, but the fact that you're always pushing and creating offense means you're not spending time in your own zone. That's when they're at their best.
The only thing that right? worries me with that is when teams figure it out. Joel Quenneville's a Hall of Fame coach.
Mm-hmm.
He would have told that team exactly. And Florida's a really talented team up front. Like, if you actually look and laid them out side by side, the talent is damn close. Because guys like Frank Vetrano had 25 goals.
Well, Nolichari's having
a big
year.
Like, he's having a great season. But, like, they've got Mike Hoffman at 35 goals last year. Huberto, Barkov. Like, their Trocheck was injured. He's a 30-goal scorer. Like, they have skill up front. And when you get coaching that goes, okay, this is what these guys like to do. We got to limit their time and space. We got to be quick on them. That's where I want to see the Leafs adapt. Because when the Oilers beat the Leafs in here, that's the most motion I've ever seen the Oilers D have. So they almost said, okay, we're going to beat the Leafs at their own game.
Yeah.
Motion and handling the puck. So you have to be able to defend at some point, and that's where I think the Leafs get some trouble. Like, they got puck focus a couple times last night. Johnny did it on SC last night. Like, it's just lost in coverage because they were out to lunch mentally. Mm-hmm. They'll respond against New Jersey. I want to see how they play against Calgary on Thursday, a team that has a lot of offensive flair too.
And not to over-dramatize things, it's a long year. You guys have a lot to talk about every week. But because this is the last week for the bye week, before a long absence of games for the Leafs, not only did they have to come out of what was a lackluster week last week, their first under Keefe, but it's their first week without Morgan Riley heading into the bye week. And I think they can string together the kind of performances that lets everyone relax.
What do they got Tuesday?
Forget us. For them.
What do they got? Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and then done?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a moment in the season where you say, we've lost our top defenseman, we're coming off a poor defensive week, the doubts are creeping back in, let's shut everyone up.
Yeah.
I think it's a very important week for them.
Well, yeah, it is. It's when you lose three in a row, after you battled yourself back into a pretty comfortable position, prior to the Edmonton game, where you started feeling pretty good about where they were going, you know, things can change pretty quickly. And you're right, we could be sitting here next Monday saying, well, they just ran off three in a row again.
Yeah, feeling good.
And now it's all good. And okay, you know, Muzzin will be back maybe after the break or whatever. And all of a sudden, Johnsson's back, and now he gets back into kind of the swing of things or whatever. Things can change quickly.
Yeah.
Good stuff, buddy. Thank you for popping in, as always.
Good luck to your Packers.
I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. There's Pierre LeBrun, our TSN Hockey Insider.
Stole you dinner.
Yeah, I know. Whenever you're ready on that.
All right.
We'll get to the bottom of it. Get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Looking at the NBA board tonight, I like Indiana at home against Philly. Indiana's a good team, sneaky team in the East. And I'll take Indiana tonight. I will lay the points. Portland big at home against Charlotte, and I think the Lakers will lay a beating on Cleveland tonight. Throw down 20. You can score 100. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. So we've been talking a lot about the Houston suspension / firings, Alex Cora, who is very uncomfortable right now with the Red Sox.
You think he's just watching his phone?
He knows he's getting hit next. Like, they're going to move over. And even though Cora has not technically been included in the penalties with Houston, I find it hard to believe Rob Manfred in baseball will not consider his role a significant role in the cheating scandal.
Wouldn't that take people ratting him out? And he could just say, I don't know what you're talking about. I manage the Red Sox, and that's my only concern.
Okay,
I have no idea what you're talking
about.
They
have a cheating scandal with the Red Sox. So even if that happens, they'll be like, all right, we'll pretend like you're actually being truthful there. We'll move over to your... He's getting suspended. Yeah. Like, I got to believe he's done for at least a year. Some people on Twitter were like, he's going to get banned for life. Like, he's Shoeless Joe Jackson or Pete Rose. I don't know if he's going to get suspended for life, but he's in trouble. And
I'll bet you $100 he doesn't get suspended.
At all? Done. Stop. I can't do this to you. I'm not.
I can't do that.
Consult with Al's brother before you make a comment like that and a statement like that.
I'll never consult with him about anything.
Al's brother has been taking it on the chin all day. Now he's manned up. He's been there. He's staring us down. He's been staring me down. He wants a piece of me.
Mad at you.
Yeah.
We have to share some of the money.
We want flesh this weekend.
Yeah. Well, we got two games still to go this weekend.
How about this? If you want to man up, if you want to be a man, 500 a game. What?
I'm not doing that.
Why?
Get your damn act together.
Thank you, Jerry. I'm not interested in that. I like
I am,
what
though.
We've got
I need
going
to chase.
On. I understand you're chasing.
Dude, you make good money. You could do
that's fine.
500 a game.
That's I'm not interested in that.
200 a game.
We'll talk later in the week, all right? We'll start teeing up the games next week.
That's what you say when you just want to push something aside.
Well, I want to know if Al's brother is going to be involved. If he's making the picks for you, then
I'll
that might sway.
I'll go back to the well. It's only one pick.
It's two picks. Well, yeah, one pick. You're right. I got one. You got one. Al's
is Jonas
brother?
Back in here today, this week?
I don't think so.
Are you away, Jamie, at all?
Thursday.
I don't know who's coming
Jonas
in.
Jonas in here to flip the coin.
Oh, that's right. Carlo's in on Thursday. We get Koliakovo involved.
No, Jonas.
Jonas isn't here. Carlo's going to... That's what Carlo wants to do. Do a morning show, stick around all day, and then come in and act like a puppet and flip a coin for you and
exactly.
I.
Exactly.
I'm sure he'll be really jacked up about that opportunity. But, yeah, don't worry about it. All right? It's all good. So we're talking about that. We're talking about the Maple Leaf situation, them losing last night. Morgan Rielly out for 2 months.
That's not huge. Losing last night. It's just the fashion that happened.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to lose games. Exactly. And you still have 36 games left in the schedule. It's not like it's the end of the world,
but
it's against the team that you know who you're fighting with. And you've been down in Florida a couple of days, which doesn't affect our life. But you know within the organization, they're
they
like, really,
the
guys?
Carrot.
Come
you
on.
Had to exactly. Show them.
Hook us up here. So we talked about that, and the NFL playoffs were wild. The Packers, they're on to San Francisco. I may or may not be on my way out there next weekend to catch that game.
You better be. I want you to be there.
I'm looking at bookseats.com. They got the whole packages on there. We'll see.
Well, you
got
to
see. I'll let you know later in the week. So I'm excited about that. And
you better be.
It's all good.
Are you going to wear the cheese head?
I don't know.
I want to pick with the cheese head in front of the stadium.
Yeah, I'd like to see it, too.
I'd have to get my hands on a cheese head. They don't sell them in the Bay Area, I guarantee
some
you that.
Goon.
No, buy one online. Have it shipped to your house.
Yeah, I could do that.
And then you can
imagine
put it
flying
in
somewhere with a cheese head.
Cheese head.
Well, right. Who has a cheese head around
I'm
here?
I'm not boring anybody's cheese head.
Can you imagine the type of sweat ring would be in that?
All right, we got to go. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.
Scarborough Nissan is one of the largest volume Nissan dealers in the GTA. Happy New Year from everyone at Scarborough Nissan. Safety first. Please remember, don't drink and drive. The Winter Warrior Sales event is on now. Take advantage of lease and finance rates as low as 0% APR on select models OAC or up to $6,000 standard rate finance cash on select models. Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. Visit them on Eglinton Avenue East at Warden Avenue. Visit ScarboroughNissan.com. You've been listening to the Overdrive Podcast Hour 3. Powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. It's Nissan's Winter Warrior event. Lease or finance from 0% or get up to $6,000 in standard rate finance cash on select models. Scarborough Nissan. Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.